Get your squeakiness out.
Squeaky.
Like a baby in a high chair or something.
Unbelievable bacon sandwich, that.
Yeah? I got one yesterday from a place called Croque Monsieur.
Oh, yeah.
Built into the wall, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get an extra large one. They put a little bit of their special pepper on it.
Mm-hmm.
Special pepper. It's not speed, it's actually pepper. With ketchup.
Mm.
Magnifique.
I had their Cumberland ring sandwich.
It were.
Oh, mate. Worth a try as well if you like sausage, yeah.
Nice. Sorry, Wilson, I forgot you were there.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Cinematry, our podcast horror review thingy about sequels and remakes, probably, most of the time. It's also about Funhouse. A whole lot of fun. Prizes to be won. I'm Chris, and I'm joined this week by Dave.
Hello!
And by Rob.
Hello, Chris Wilson.
How are you both doing on this fine Sunday morning when we're recording?
On the Sabbath.
Good.
The
Sabbath. Yeah, very good. Well. How are you, Dave?
Managed to find some just about in-date milk to make a coffee.
Well done. I've swung by Cafe Nero. Mm. Other vendors are available on my way here. I've got a bucket of coffee. It's good.
I went to Wetherspoons. No other restaurants available, ever.
Yeah, Willie got up early. Went to the Wetherspoons around the corner.
Yeah.
What time did you get up?
About 10 to 8.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Same time as me. I wish I had a Wetherspoons around the corner.
Yeah.
I've got a cafe that's pretty dodgy.
Oh, was it the Rose Cafe?
Yeah. They just undercook the bacon, which bothers me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hang on, now, doesn't that give you, like, worms or some shit?
Probably. Pasty bacon's not for me.
It has to be crispy.
Yeah, of course it is.
Absolutely.
Speaking of... No, I've not even got a segue there. This week's film...
Speaking of undercooked... Speaking of pasty bacon...
Yeah, this time we're reviewing Paranormal Activity 2.
Oh. Right, Willie.
Right.
Why you done do this thing?
What?
Why you done do this thing? Why? You gonna film it?
Because I couldn't think of anything else and I just thought it would be a really funny idea to go through a film where basically nothing happens for half of it, so I'd have to describe most of it. And therefore, my job as a host has been vastly reduced, and I can half-ass it as always.
The problem is there, sometimes if we've not seen these things, we all pick a trio of films where nothing actually happens in them.
Yeah, and in the last three episodes,
that's kind of happened. I think we've imagined things happening in Blair Witch, but I'm not entirely sure if anything did happen. I could have been just looking at static for 2 hours.
We've gone down a really fucking weird rabbit warren, basically, over the last sort of three episodes, and I don't know if there's any coming back at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, I've not finished my coffee yet, so I'm feeling a bit negative. That's probably why.
I don't think that's going to change when you finish that coffee, is it?
I'm hopeful. It's a damn fine cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Well, my Latino housemaid is going to turn up at some point and start burning some incense and shit to pep you up a bit.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And start muttering to herself.
You mean the dramatically convenient Latino maid?
You mean my horror movie cliche of the week?
Yeah, 100%. Maid. As soon as she turned up, my reaction was this. For fuck's sake.
Catholic alarm goes off that dad's installed.
Yeah.
That dad who's fucking mad about everything.
Yeah. It's like that, you know, in the fog, where in the soundtrack there's that little bell in the background that goes ding, ding. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
That was going off in my head when she walked in. The little...
Like, an alarm system made out of John Carpenter's classics.
Yeah, you'd trip wires everywhere.
Yeah. And just to go a bit more into detail, obviously, this is based on the strange phenomenon of Paranormal Activity 1, which made a shitload of money. I don't know how. For the mid-2000s... weird for horror films.
Yeah.
Would you say that this franchise is the resurgence after Blair Witch of found footage? And in terms of the mainstream, obviously it's happening all over the place,
yeah.
But I guess this is when it came back again. Obviously,
I suppose it did, because there wasn't anything between 98 and 2008 was the first Paranormal Activity.
There were some mainstream releases, but it was all sort of kind of by the wayside, to be honest. Mm. It was like, oh, look, it's just someone ripping off Blair Witch. That's never going to take off again. And obviously Paranormal Activity
came along
and smashed it.
Because there was that lull just in horror in general, wasn't there?
It was kind of
the early 2000s.
This was kind of like the third wave, really, mm-hmm. of found footage films. So the first wave, I guess, is stuff like... was it Cannibal Holocaust in the early 90s?
Was that 90s?
Or late 80s, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
That was sort of... the first real found footage film, and there's lots of controversy over it to the point where people thought it was so real that in Italy, when it was made, the director had to bring the lead actor to court to prove that he'd not actually murdered them.
Mm-hmm. Although he did kill an animal.
He did kill an animal on camera, which we do not condone.
No.
And I think the...
Unless it's tasty.
A Legend of Boggy Creek from the 70s.
Yeah.
Which is a mixture of found footage and... Yeah, I've tried watching that. It is pretty shocking, though. So
yeah, and then we had Blair Witch, obviously.
Yep.
And then we had Paranormal Activity mm-hmm. and films that followed it, cinematic classics such mm-hmm. as the Chernobyl Diaries.
Chernobyl.
If anyone's seen it, it's more like the Shitnobyl Diaries. It's fucking not great.
Oh dear me.
Is that who?
Oh, it's a tired one.
I suppose at the same time as Paranormal Activity, you've got the infinitely superior Wreck.
Yes, you do.
Wreck 2, which is decent. And then if you fancy a little bit less paella and more fish and chips, you can have Quarantine 1 and 2.
You can, yeah. I think Wreck might have been the year before Paranormal Activity. I would have to check that, but I think Wreck was 2007. Okay.
But obviously because it's in Spanish, it's not very popular.
Yeah, it doesn't count if it's in a different language.
No.
Even though it's an infinitely better film.
Infinitely. Have you seen Wreck, Wilson?
I've not, actually, no.
Fucking unbelievable. Amazing. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Check it out.
Mm.
Just a relentless joyride that grabs you by the penis and doesn't let go.
I remember seeing your quote from a poster.
Yeah. Yes. Until you're in a similar state to Stan's dad in South Park, where you're just very tired and covered in fluids.
Right, shall we crack into it then?
Yes. Better.
Dive into this poodle.
It just as a warning, when I was watching this, because again, this is on Netflix, makes it very easier. I don't have to buy anything. It's wonderful.
We're all on Netflix, aren't we? Yeah,
I've noticed a theme with your picks.
Well, this is since when I downloaded it in dodgy circumstances, and I got a bollocking off Sky for downloading, because apparently it's killing the British creative industries by doing that.
Which I work in, so boo!
So does Dave. Knock-on effects. Sorry, guys, just to let you know, Chris Wilson downloaded it this week, which means we're docking all fucking pay from you.
Dave's having to live, behind the bins around the back this week.
Yes, mate, I'm really feeling it. Hewlett-Packard have kind of just cut off our contract and said, sorry, mate, Chris Wilson downloaded it. So,
Chris Wilson downloaded this film. Sorry, this £10 million film is now cancelled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. But me and Rob paid for it in the cinema, basically for you. Yeah. So
I also bought it on Blue Rizzle, so I guess you're covered.
Well, Paranormal Activity 2.
No, it.
Oh, wait. I was about to say, why would you buy Paranormal Activity 2?
Fucking hell. You can accuse me of anything you like. Do not accuse me of buying Paranormal Activity 2 on DVD or Blu-ray.
As I was saying, as a precursor, the Netflix description on this... Now, when you're normally describing a family, or like, introducing pronouns, surely you do it like father, mother, kids, doggo. Whereas here, for some reason, they've gone father, daughter, mother... doggo baby. So if I get the names the wrong way around, it's because I took the notes of the description first thing and then got completely confused. So
that's fair enough.
Apologies.
At this point, I'm going to introduce a little something we're going to do throughout to simulate my enjoyment of the Paranormal Activity franchise.
Is it a drinking game?
For basically just to kind of like bring things down real slow, real slow, real just absolutely nothing happening. Just kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah. It's a bit like you're sort of chatting along. For the benefit of the listeners, I just knocked something off Dave's shelf.
Oh.
Motherfucker.
That's me close to my notebook. Oh,
you've
shit.
Lost your page, you Willy.
I know I have.
You silly you know, Willy.
There's going to be more filler in this than in the film. Oh, spoilers.
That's so, a lot.
Yes. So, the film begins with a family returning home with Hunter the baby, which I thought Hunter was named the dog. It turns out Abby is the dog.
Yeah.
Hunter is
the child.
Well, why would you call your kid Hunter?
I don't know.
Maybe it must be a big fan of Gladiators.
Oh, you've just fucking took
yes!
words out of my mouth. Motherfucker! Dear.
Preempted.
Fuck you. Hunter was from York. That's a fun fact for you.
He was, yeah.
Out here for like 10 years after Gladiator.
He was in the news recently for lifting a rather heavy rock in Scotland.
Yeah, it wasn't part of fucking Stonehenge, was it?
No, it's now like a world record hold for lifting a rock in Scotland.
Still these little old Scottish women can't get to the post office because some mean old bastards put a big rock in front of it. It's like, oh, better call Hunter. I got a fucking hair with it.
Are you fucking shaving here?
You know that Wolf put it there, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely, just to be spiteful.
He was like the biggest fucking heel in the world, yeah, wasn't he? Yeah.
Boo! Yeah. Boo! So we get a bit of house geography, which I'm sure you quite like, Dave.
I was enjoying that, to be fair.
It was very slightly forced, but I think they did a good job of saying, okay, this is her, this is her, this is them.
It was extremely unnecessary. It was like, how do we keep Dave happy? Right, let's take this baby that can't even understand anything on a tour around the house with a camera.
Yeah.
Baby in one arm, camera in the other. Look, baby, this is the basement. Ooh.
Take him. Not enough if he's sleeping, but I want to take him on a little tour of the house.
Okay. He's cool? Not sleeping.
That's Abby. He's going to be your best friend. Bye, sweetie. This is a fireplace. This is how mommy seduced daddy.
Oh.
And that's how we got you.
And that's why you're watching this video at 25.
This is your room. Here's your crib. It's a little sparse right now. Just got some caterpillar action going on. Hunter, see? Pretty cool. This is your sister's trashed room.
Yeah, I'll check with them.
Oh, there she is.
What's up, brother from another mother?
What?
No, Hunter's in. You're never allowed to come in here, ever, unless I invite you, in which case it's going to be the best day of your life. Oh, and by the way, that's my bathroom. Don't ever go in there.
And that's half your bathroom? It's actually my bathroom, because I bought it and I let my dad.
All that is mine. Don't be on my seat.
This is a living room that no one ever uses. Hey, somebody left the front door open.
Is doggo. Yeah. Look, a pool cleaner.
Two things happened early doors here that meant I was in trouble straight away.
Oh, no.
So you might remember when Mr. Wilson here on the previous episode told us we were watching this, I said, oh, I think I've seen the first one and the third one and one of the really shit later ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think I've ever seen the second one.
Right.
Started watching it, saw the baby was in it and realised this was the one that I'd seen, and I thought it was the third one. So I was like, oh, shit. And then my mood was darkened further by the bolted-on nanny from a Latino background. That was just unnecessary.
Yes. Just kind of walking around and muttering, and it just doesn't need to be that close to a Family Guy parody, does it?
No. Yeah, it's very awkward racial stereotype there.
Yeah.
Well, probably a bit more cultural, to be fair, but
yeah,
still, you know.
I think there's some nice bonding elements where she doesn't fully speak English, so there's like a nice little sort of language barrier that makes it hard for her to explain herself to the world's angriest dad. But there's some nice bonding sequences where she's like making friends with the women in the family, which I think is quite cute.
Yeah.
And she's still quite close to the baby as well. And look. No, I'll let it pass. I'll let it pass unless she whips out some incense. Oh, okay.
Speaking of a baby and not cute and crying and such, the Hunter cries right away, and this is a recurring theme during the film. If there's nothing more I hate, it's the sound of a baby crying.
And he is one high pitched little shit, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
And the thing that bothered me, like, early doors is. And this upon my have with throughout the franchise, but especially in this film, for some reason I find it particularly difficult, is they did a really decent job of establishing the geography of the house.
Very nicely done.
And then they established the family and the extended family, and they're fucking all completely indistinguishable from each other.
Yeah.
Like, they even wear the same fucking, like, the sisters wear pretty much the same vest top and shorts combo.
Mm. Yep.
And I just can't fucking tell who's
who. When you watch it through a grainy CCTV, you're like, is that... Is that... Okay.
I got very confused. So we quickly go to a barbecue where the sister Katie is there, and Katie... Remember rightly, because I'm not with the original in like 8 years.
She's in the first
She's in the first one, you know, it's all going to tie back later on. Ooh,
plot in. Horrendously dull boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's more of this, as we were discussing in the previous episode, bolted on universe bollocks.
Yeah.
Where everything has to be related to everything else. Mm-hmm. Shit can't just happen because it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although... Speaking of shit does happen, for say happening, they have a barbecue, they pet the doggo a bit.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. 10 minutes later, we finally get to a quick cut to a couple of weeks or maybe the next day where there's been a bit of a burglary. But the people have burgled, haven't taken anything.
Oh.
Apart from Katie's necklace.
Ooh. Oh, there's in the necklace, right, okay.
Yeah, literally that's the only thing we go, oh, this is missing.
Oh, right, okay, but the whole house is trashed.
Yeah, the whole house is trashed, the TVs are smashed, pots and pans everywhere.
It's crazy.
It's tragic.
Some might say that's a little bit contrived.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah. Sorry. My issue with this is that the demon thing fucks up this house big time, absolutely annihilates the house. And then for the next maybe 40 minutes, just kind of fucks around with a pool cleaner, maybe knocks a teacup over now and again. It starts off big. And don't get me wrong, it's quite a nice little spooky sequence, I think. They come back to the house and it's just completely trashed.
Yeah.
Mm. But then it's kind of like a bit of a come down after that.
Yeah.
It's
basically just a bit of a ghost prankster, isn't he? Because then you get a scene with, this is where I start getting the names wrong. Is it... Christy, that's for mother. I think so, yeah. He, like, with Hunter, picks it up. Oh, the baby chair falls over, but it's done in a way where she thinks, oh, this the baby's caught something. Over, yeah.
There was a couple of nice little bits, like, in these first sort of introductory sequences. Like, there's a scene where the baby cries and she goes in to sort of console it, and its little toy above its bed just starts rotating.
Yeah.
And then when they come back through from the ensuite bathroom bit, it stops. Like, little touches like that are quite nice.
It works best with subtlety, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But then, on the other hand, you get someone who's taken a shit in the toilet and they don't know who's done it. Like, okay, why is that there?
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, that's kind of jokey, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But is it implied that the demon's done a shit?
Yes, it is.
Oh, right, I just thought someone had...
No, I think, because it wouldn't be explained, I think the idea was, yeah, it's taking a shit in the toilet.
That's fucking funny.
For the Lord.
That's fucking funny, that is. I did not get that. I just thought someone had done a shit and the dad was being a douche.
That's some fucking scary movie shit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Surely if you'd be mischievous, you'd take a shit on a coffee table, wouldn't you?
Yes. that's, or in the pots and pans.
That'd be my go-to.
Yeah.
Can we you get the payoff on that if you shat in them pots and pans when they all come down later on? Just shit mess. Flies everywhere.
Yeah. Right, we need to stop and talk about who the fuck this family are, just real briefly.
Okay, right. Let's give this one a go.
The fuck does that dad do to only work one day every year to afford that house? I know he's got like a little laptop bag at one point. That's about all I can say.
Cyber hacker. Yeah.
He's actually Neo from The Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do people even say cyber anymore? Cyberspace.
Cyber hacker.
he seems to be at home quite a lot.
Just fucking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And relentlessly punching above his weight. But yes, I don't get what he does to afford this house.
I don't.
No. And he needs to seem to conveniently need to go to work. Whenever something really bad is going down.
Yeah.
Like, oh, your baby's been stabbed. Oh, I've really got to go to this meeting. I'll be back in 2 hours. Just make sure he don't fall over.
Yeah, everything will be fine while I'm not here.
Yeah.
Contrived bollocks, mate. Contrived bollocks. Can't cope with it.
So, after the...
Speaking of contrived, then there's like a little bit because we've still... I mean, because of a burglary, we've installed the CCTV cameras. So now we've got our established 6 shots, I believe it is.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But then for some reason as well, because obviously you don't put a camera in the bathroom, we have a bit where Dan is filming his wife in the bath and we're just talking.
Yeah.
Do they really want to have that tape laying around in case there's a nipple.
It's a very strange thing to film. Like, you've got videos of, like, oh, look, baby going around the house. Oh, baby meeting your sister. You want a smash?
Yeah. Very, very jarring. Yes. Very out of place.
You can smash, but you're going to have to take your awful shorts off.
Maybe Dan's a pornographer.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
What I'll say is, in defence of the... Before it gets too indefensible, in defence of the repetitious six shots,
yeah,
it does have you scanning the screen for shit that might be going on.
Which is where it gets most of its scares from.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Why I find... I'm just going to throw this out there now. I do quite enjoy these films. Don't get me wrong, they are absolute dumpster garbage.
Yeah.
They are shit. And they function the same way as, like, you know, the Dracula Experience in Whitby?
Yeah.
It's absolute fucking, it's a hot mess.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But, like, someone in a cheap screen mask jumps out at you in the dark, and it makes me jump.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's that whole thing, isn't it? I mean, I think my issue with it is that when it gets going...
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's quite good, and there's some really effective scares. But it don't get going until it's 20 minutes left of the film, mate. That's the problem.
I think my issue with it, I mean, I really like the idea of basically this static shot of things are happening within instead of the camera moving around.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very difficult to transition from one night to the next, so that's why you get a lot of filler in these films, because they've never really figured out how you move from one night to the next without it.
Yeah.
Without having to have a shitload of text on the screen.
Well, it's a signpost, you have to.
You have to. So they have to have bits in between, and.
It's just dumpy, like, storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just so copy and paste. Like, it's literally copy and paste.
Like, they literally copy and paste, like, day 3, August 3rd, what have you, 2008, all that shit.
I mean, it must have took them, like, 10 days to shoot this film. Because, like, the security cam footage of the pool in the front of the house, apart from right at the end, it's the same shot.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, and the front door shot as well.
It's just a repetition of this. So they only probably shot it once.
Yes.
And just kept cutting it in.
Yeah. I was slightly peeved when Mika turns up from the first film.
Yeah.
And his first introduction, when you see him in the kitchen, just, like, making a fucking sandwich for himself, minding his own business, it's like, ooh, Mika, 60 days before he died.
Yeah.
I was going to comment about, like, the text that comes off the screen, it's just like, what is it, fucking Tarantino film? Like, the chapter, chapter 2, the death of Mika Sloan in 60 days.
Just that fucking bullshit courier text over everything.
Yeah.
Like a default programming font.
Typewriter font.
Yeah, yeah.
I think my issue with... these films, and my issue, in a sense, with all found footage films, I honestly think that the only film that's found footage film that's ever managed to do as effectively as the Blair Witch Project is every time one of them starts, they all have the same fucking found footage disclaimer, including this one, and they all have those little things like the however many days before Mika died and all that shit. Realistically, if you're looking at this film in the way that they want you to, as it is a documentary of events, then you're watching snuff and no one would ever release it, and I don't understand that concept.
They always have the disclaimer, oh, we'd like to thank the authorities. Thank you, FBI, for releasing this footage, and we've spliced it all together. Like,
if ever I work on a found footage film, which is a bit too much, and they send me the rough edit, and it comes with that disclaimer at the start that says the following actually legitimately happened on it. I'm like, I'll work on it, but that's going.
Yeah, yeah.
Take that out and send it back. And normally they agree, because they've just, like, they've seen it in, like, so many films. They put it in for the sake of it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, just do an intro that will hook people.
Yeah.
That's
only ever worked once, and that was the first time, and that was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh shit, yes, but yeah, fair enough.
And that's obviously that's not a true story, but it is based on some events of Ed Gein's background.
And it's the '70s, so it definitely gets a pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywho, we digress, sorry Wilson.
Oh no, really, just a load of filler to go with a filler.
filler.
Well, yeah, I'm looking through my notes, I'm not even sure where I go next with this one. We've got a load of footage from 3 o'clock in the morning where the baby's stood up, seemingly interacting with someone. Meanwhile, the doggo's downstairs, awfully interested in the spooky door.
Barking at the basement.
Barking at the spooky door in the kitchen.
Dull. Fucking dull cliche shite.
I don't think there's a single missed up thing going on here.
I like the, I think the baby is acting quite well in this. And I think the doggo is very good in this.
Yeah.
I think the doggo is brilliant. When there's nothing happening, but the doggo just like suddenly wakes up and starts looking at something.
Yeah.
And again, you're looking for stuff that's happening on the screen.
Yeah.
But obviously the payoff isn't there. I would just like, I want 5% more.
Yeah, that's all it needs.
Not much more at all. Just a little bit more. Just tell me something.
Bloody hell, Dave, it's only a doggo. It, you know, it can only, it's active ages only so much.
It's a well-paid doggo.
Yeah.
And the Academy Award goes to Doggo!
Woof, 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 woof. You can't say woof, woof, woof. Save the environment. Woof, woof, woof. But no, the dog is quite good, and I guess it kind of ties into that whole thing about animals and spirits, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, and the same with kids as well, that they can see shit.
The next big scene is another one of the late at night with a baby inside of something, and here comes our, well, it's Martina, our maid. She senses spirits, so she like picks up a baby, takes it into the kitchen, starts wafting incense sticks around and gets caught for it.
Yeah.
And so, in a case of quite clear racial discrimination, she gets the sack.
Yes. Which is case numero uno of the dad being an unnecessary dick.
Nobody should. No, I don't. Just stop doing it, please.
Pero lo que no, lo que usted no me entiende es que en esta casa
me entiende.
Nadie está a salvo, especialmente.
Yo no creo, Martín. Okay, I told you.
Sí.
Okay? No creemos. Para I cannot Hunter. Have that stuff in my house. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, he turns from like a bit of a fucking knob to. You actually a total fucking cunt, and I hope you die.
Yeah,
kind of situation.
Not just because we know that, you know, there is actually genuine spooks happening in this spook house.
Yeah.
But, oh shit, yeah, this is a spook house, isn't it? I can say that loads now.
Cool.
Yeah, like, it's just unnecessary to get her out of the way to just shove the rest of the film forward.
Yeah. Exactly. And then in the sequence immediately following that, we get the first instance of this film making me mad, mate.
Oh no, what happened?
Fucking night vision shit, mate. Don't fucking do this. Don't be that fucking dull and unoriginal. Do you know what I mean?
Just like you seen.
We're already treading water in the most tedious way. Don't do this too.
It was a different time of like when you spy your standard camera, you know. From I don't know, Dixon's or something. One of the features would be night vision. So turn a light on where you can see like 2 foot in front of you through the LCD screen. It was a different time for 2000s.
Yeah, true. I think it went up to night 8 now. My notes,
something like that.
Somewhere like that. Yeah.
It's hard to tell because the kid's grown about half a foot, hasn't he?
Yeah. I think we're sort of getting towards kind of the halfway point, and I think this is about the fifth cut to the three sequential shots.
Yeah.
And it is at this point that I thought, I've cracked it.
Oh.
Here comes another one of Rob's crazy theories.
The pool cleaner fucking did it.
Yeah?
Yes.
I agree. It's the only logical conclusion I can come to.
Yeah. So I think every day, every morning, you get the dad putting the pool cleaner back in the pool.
Yeah.
Mm. And I thought that was just like a standard operation for it. But I thought, I gathered that as the demon was just like, what's this doing in here? And puts it on the side.
Yeah.
I figured that was...
Yeah.
That was supposed to be something spooky.
It's like, what is this?
Ooh. Yeah. But at the same time, your audience... Like 99.9% of your audience don't even know what a fucking pool cleaner is. I'm sorry.
No.
No.
I can't relate to that dad's problems.
Well, that's it. Well, and because it's so like, because it's so fucking niche a thing. They actually have to do a scene where they explain it later on, where the dad's fucking like, look, you can fucking make the pool cleaner come out because I'm a wanker. Watch.
I was going to move on to that quickly because on day 10, a pan falls over. Ooh. And also we get a bit of a house fire as...
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, someone, I know, left some popcorn or something. You know, yeah. It turned off, but, you know, our shithouse demon in the heart.
Shithouse demon.
Yeah, he turns it back on, causes a fire, a smoke.
Yeah,
Dan the dickhead has to come down and put it out.
Well, it's questionably, is it okay to say she's fit daughter is in the hot tub with her boyfriend?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
questionable.
So these two things happen, and the pool cleaner moves on its own.
Yes.
So bearing in mind, right, they've got a whole DVR system installed.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the one thing you should probably check in the day after to see what the fuck happened?
I would check my very expensive DVR video system, Willie.
But for which bit, you know?
I don't know. I'd probably not bother, actually. I'd just probably get mad at the women in the house.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. What he does do is he checks on the pool cleaner moving, but he doesn't think to check about how the fire happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, the fuck is this? Yeah. I won't mind, like, at my work, if someone farts in the wrong direction, I've got to check the DVR.
Yeah.
So, why the fuck, when you've just had a house fire, aren't you checking what happened?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, for the next sort of 20 minutes, it's just, like, fucking cack-handed shit after cack-handed shit. So, just to dive back slightly, the scene that was immediately preceding the dad being a dick about the pool cleaner bit is... A bird flies into the window, straight out of Poundland fucking jump scare bullshit territory. Yes, and then cuts to the next day and he's fucking about with a dead bird.
Been a dick. He's such a prick, isn't he?
He's such a fucking bellend. It's just like, do you know what, mate? If you're supposed to be one of the fucking protagonists in this film, I couldn't give two shits.
Yeah, yeah. Unlikable wank.
Yeah.
Although he does get a bit of a comeuppance shortly after when he goes for a dive in the pool. And someone's turned the heating up.
Which is fucking funny.
Yeah. Dives in, gets scorched. Yells at women in the house again.
Yeah. It's their fault.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. He comes in the house so fucking mad. Like he's just fucking lost a bet on the rugby or something. And he just sits there shouting at the table whilst looking lobster pink. And everyone's just laughing at him and I'm laughing at him.
Yeah.
Because he's such a bell end.
Why would I? That was two nights ago, and I turned it off.
Are you okay?
Were you not in there with Brad?
Yeah, two nights ago.
Honey, what's going on?
It wouldn't be boiling. The highest it goes up to is like 90-something.
Give me something. Just like peas.
Are you okay?
God, I'm boiling bunch right now.
What is it actually that?
Oh, God.
I didn't do anything.
It's an absolute joke. And we started getting introduced at this point to one of my favourite things about the film, which is, it comes back to the DVR thing, Wilson, you were saying, is that his daughter keeps saying, we just fucking check the DVR. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, but I've got to cook these eggs, so I can't right now. It's like all this fucking bullshit excuses. Like, oh, I've got to go to work for the one time this week, I'll check it later.
dad does something living in the basement. Will you fuck off? I'm tying my shoes. If you can do it afterwards. No! I have two shoes to tie. All right, okay. Well, I mean, maybe in about 10 minutes, you just come and have a little whizzle upstairs. Just come and watch this expensive system you've installed. I'm worried that little Babby might be in danger. I'll just fucking get Velcro, shall I? This is like an unwinnable situation with this absolute knob pickler. That's a new one. Hashtag knob pickler. Fucking douchebag. I'm so happy when he gets eventually tagged. Spoilers.
Oh, spoilers.
Sorry, this is sorry. I didn't realise people were watching it in sync. I should point out
that we have the official commentary, a DVD commentary.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm going to point out in this moment, this film is 93 minutes long.
Yeah.
It don't feel like 93 minutes.
Feels like I'm watching Dr. Zhivago.
Yes, mate.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, with Babby just kind of hanging around in its cot, Doggo just doing Doggo stuff,
yeah.
Dad just being a knob, women reading magazines and watching, just filling around with pans.
Yeah.
It feels about 2.5 hours, to be fair.
Yeah, it's just
not
like,
a breezy
yeah.
2.5 hours, no, it's like not. My special version of the Blair Witch that only me and Alan saw.
Yeah. It's just this guy being a dick, innit? Like the thing with the pans as well, when one of the pans falls down. He's like, oh, it's because she didn't hang up on the hook properly. And she's like, no, then the pans fell down again. He's like, oh, you must have hung up wrong twice. Because
you're a woman. Look, if I do it the specific way, it falls down. Yeah, but that's not how I did it, though, was it? Yeah, but you did. You great fucking vagina.
And no, I'm not checking the footage.
I'm tying my shoes. Angry dad.
Right. Oh, I've sat down, I can't get back up again. So for next night, after some bollocks with the Ouija boards and all that lot.
Oh yeah, there's a week. Ouija boards. Actually, yeah, no, horror cliche. Oh no, I've already had it with the maid, haven't I?
I'll give it mine.
You want to do it?
How are you doing that one? Ouija board in a supernatural film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more specifically, the scene where the Ouija board moves, and it's because some dick's doing it on purpose, and then it moves again, but no one's doing it, but no one believes anyone, because they've already been tricked once.
Yes.
Fucking tedious.
Mm-hmm. And then the second time they do the Ouija board, it spells out the baby's name, almost, nearly.
Yeah, but they just somehow don't twig that.
No.
No.
Just go,
H, you. Because lad's too busy, like, still laughing at his brilliant pussy joke in the fucking moments before.
Yeah.
Great, well done.
Which is slightly out of character for him, considering at this point he didn't actually have any character. And I suppose now he still doesn't have any character. He's just said pussy.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with the Paranormal Activity films in general.
Yeah.
And I think that's the nature of them, is that there's so many scenes where, like, someone just walks and is like, hi, I'm Dave, her boyfriend. Just a little bit of fleshing out of her character. I'm a bit of a jock. Great, so now you know the kind of guy she goes for and what her weaknesses might be. See ya!
But her character never ties into that at all.
No.
She's perfectly rational, sensible, and if she went to school or left the house, then she'd probably be quite smart. But,
yeah. She becomes the fucking, like, lead, almost, in a sense.
Yes.
The moral lead.
Yeah.
And this happens after the Ouija stuff. She has a bit of a snooze on the settee, and it all goes a bit weird. The TV goes static and such, although you don't weirdly see it from that angle.
Yeah.
But you get like a weird shadow hanging over her, which is actually probably the best scene of the film, to be fair.
It's definitely up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it starts her awake, it all suddenly like disappears in a flash.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's then attracted to a noise outside. Try to see what it is, and the door's slammed shut on her, so she's locked outside.
Oh, no, she gets lured part of the way up the stairs, and then there's that fucking horrendously nasty bang on the door that's happened about 3 times now, I think, which does get me every time that noise gets me. Pokes her head out the door slams behind her. No one's going to watch the CCTV anyway, doesn't matter, so she's locked out of the house, at which point I'm quite on board with this sequence. Because now it's just Baby and Doggo.
Yeah, and there's a nice bit of tension here as well.
Yeah,
for the first time. Yep. I think we're about 45 minutes in at this point.
Yeah, and the CCTV comes into play. Because obviously there's no CCTV outside the house apart from the front door. But because the geography is nicely established, you can tell when she's run around the back and the floodlights come on, and she's trying to get in the back sort of thing.
Mm.
And all the while the baby's screaming, doggo's barking.
Yeah.
And it's a nice scene.
Yeah.
I think it's nicely done.
I'm thinking as well, like the baby's dragged along slightly.
Yeah.
Along with Carl, but they don't really go for that time.
This is the sequence of the baby getting dragged around and up the cot has become pretty iconic.
Mm. Yeah.
And that shit is fucking spooky.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And I think because it's quite effective, especially because it's, you know, a very innocent baby that's involved. And I think it's really nicely done, this little bit. I kind of agree with you, Dave. I think it's probably the best bit of the film, or one of them.
Yeah, the whole sequence is sort of very nice, because you've taken away Angry Dad.
Thank
so fuck. Now I'm not irritated at the film.
Yeah.
You've taken away Pointless Mum.
Yeah.
So I'm not distracted by that. And you've got kind of like your core characters, which unfortunately are a baby, a fucking dog, and the daughter that you're not supposed to be that invested in.
No.
And it plays into the geography of the house really well. And it's just a nice sequence, and I wish there was probably twice as much of this.
Yeah.
Just paced out, spread out a bit better.
Yeah. So you got the baby on the own, parents got out to a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. New theory on the old Madeleine McCann case.
Ooh!
A ghost did it. And not the McCanns.
Could have been the pool cleaner.
Ooh, yeah, they were beside the pool at the time.
Yeah, it could have been the same one.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening, Portuguese police.
Look into that shit.
Yes.
I realised at this point, there's been something nagging me, aside from the obvious, about this film, and I wasn't invested in it, and I figured out why. It's because in fan footage films, usually, the actors are unknowns that you never see ever again or before.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of the effectiveness of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And something was nagging me about the mum. I'd seen her somewhere before, knew she was an actress.
Right.
And so it was really fucking flustering my shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I realised about this point that she was in, I don't know if you've ever seen a TV series called The Following with Kevin Bacon.
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, she was the annoying as shit reporter in The Following.
Oh, no way.
And it just sort of clicked in at this point, and I was like, I'm just a little bit out of it now, because I know she's a legit actress.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess there's not much you can do about that, really.
Wait, you mean this stuff isn't real, then? This is all made up pretend?
That fucking caption lied at the start.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Sorry.
It's a lie!
Wilson's wasted the last fucking 3 weeks of his life investigating this case in the fucking woods in Maryland.
With newspaper clippings on the wall.
Yeah. Nailed to trees.
Fuck's sake. Sorry, Hans, parents. Sorry.
Killing Hans. So many Hans grabbing me. I can't kill them all.
So the next day, Ali, I've got her name right, I think, she starts doing a bit of vlogging about what happened last night.
Yes.
And she finally gets around to checking the DVR and finally convinces dickhead dad to have a look, where he goes, oh no, it was a wind that blew it shut, which at that force it'd be a fucking tornado in there.
Yes. I don't know what kind of draft is going through that house, but you could probably lean against the wind.
Tell you what, mate, don't worry about the door slamming. Go to the camera that's in your baby's room and see it been dragged out of its cot, and then it goes downstairs a little bit with mist and opens the fucking super spooky basement door.
Yes, mate.
That's the shit you want to be looking out for, dickhead dad.
Dad, will you look at this tape? It is right in front of you. Your shoes are tied. You have no excuse. No, I don't want to look at it. I have so many more shoes to tie downstairs. Dad, it's right in front of you right now. All I have to do is press play. No, I'm not interested, daughter.
All the rest of your shoes are flip-flops, Dad.
It's such a... this is where I kind of grinding my teeth a bit with the film, because it's just like... He's got his character motivation, but, like, common sense just says that, I mean, it's literally a foot away from his face, the answer, sort of thing. And I think he does eventually watch it.
It's just so contrived, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
So this is...
Fucking filth.
Yeah.
Wash your mouth out.
Yeah. So then we get to... And this is where it starts to become laughable, the cut into the... We're up to night 17 now.
Yes,
I'm just like, fucking hell, guys, come on, play the game. What I will say is, this is another one of my little favourite bits of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I will never not be freaked out by a kid's toy moving around and doing shit on its own.
Oh yeah, fair enough, when it just moves around the house.
Yeah. Reminded me of that really good scene from The Conjuring 2 with the fire truck a little bit. Yeah.
although it does encourage more night vision as now Ali's vlogging everything.
Now that she's vlogging, it would have been nice if she started vlogging at the start of the film to make this a consistent thing and not out of nowhere.
Well, in her defence, although we probably should have started it earlier, she now has a stake in the story because she's been pranked by the ghost. And now she's thinking, what the hell's going on? My dad's a dickhead, I better document all this lot.
Yeah. I better get around to doing this.
From a more dynamic handheld perspective that we can use, because for six shots I've got a bit boring now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And she does a vlog and she does a night vision. And then the next day, this fucking creased me in half, because all the way through it's been like, ooh, something's just happening just over here. Little slam, little thing happening. Mm-hmm. And then literally the mum's just like boiling the kettle, do-do-do-do-do. And then the fucking kitchen just goes, from fucking nowhere.
Yes, mate.
Like the ghost going, I'm a fire in my laser. And just,
I'm a fire in my laser!
Shit's all over everything.
The ghost is going through the fucking cupboard.
Yeah.
Turns out Dad's eating all the cheese and onions, and it's just like, right, fucking prick.
I'll fucking tie all these shoelaces together. They can.
No fucking wanker.
Yeah, there's no cheese and onion.
I'm amazed she wasn't hurt in this scene, to be honest.
It was very... Mr. Ghost was very precise when he was opening where all those cupboards were flying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I know that obviously this isn't the case because I've been on sets and worked on TV programmes and things, but I'd have loved it if the setup to this, like when they're filming it, was like... Just if you just stand on this X here, love, that's just your position. No, everything's fine. You're just making a brew. Just didn't tell the actress and just fucking blame everything. I'd love to think they did that.
Love but to think not. Yeah. Of course, an actor's actually standing on their mark successfully is, it's too much to risk, isn't it?
Not without a fucking 2-hour negotiation about whether the mark's in the right place, Dave.
Absolutely, yeah. Can you sit on this chair? No, I want to sit on this one. Yeah, but if you do that, the pyro's going to go off in your ear.
Yeah, I want to sit on this chair because it's slightly higher set than the actor opposite me, and I want to look like I'm taller than them. No word that just came out of my mouth was made up.
No.
I have been privy to that conversation on more than one occasion.
And then you ever sit down with them, and you flip through the script in front of them, and you say, looks like you've not got a speaking role. Sit in your fucking chair.
Yeah. I don't think my character would sit in this chair. I don't give a fuck.
I think your character's a cunt. Yeah. Now sit down.
Oh my god.
I guess that's why I don't work in film.
Yeah.
It's very vexing experience.
Don't next, we finally get our fast forward gimmick from the first film introduced for basically no reason, just to get him a fast forward gimmick a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason to it. No motivation, no payoff, really.
No. We just thought, well, this is basically the defining feature of the first film. Mm-hmm. You know, you had that scene where I think it was the sister whose name I forgot now. Let me... Gaty, there we go. Where she basically stood up for like 5 hours on end, and all you could like see was her body shaking slightly because, you know,
it had a purpose in the first one.
It did,
yes. Showed she was stood there for 4 hours. This one is just kind of a dog just moving around a bit.
Yeah, well, see, it was just like the dog going, just shifting around a bit. Then, so it stops, and the doggo is attracted by a loud noise. Mm-hmm. Back at the spooky door, it goes back downstairs. Then it's drawn over to just a bit off screen where you sort of see a bit of a body, maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
And then the dog's seriously harmed off screen.
Yes. Thankfully,
I'd never like to see a doggo get hurt.
No. It's quite savage, this scene. I think
it is. Yeah.
Quite nasty, because he's the only thing that he's. Well, the daughter and the dog are the likeable things so far. Yeah.
It really got to me a little bit more, I think. This is because context. I've always been... My dad's always had German Shepherds, which is the same type of dog as this. So I'm like, oh...
That's the dog going to the hospital, by the way.
It's going to the dog hospital. That looks exactly like my dad's dog. Exactly like it.
Yeah.
And it just puts that little bit of extra sauce on it for me.
Yeah.
But the purpose of getting the doggo out of the house along with dickhead dad and our investigative daughter is so Christy's left on her own with the baby.
Yes.
And Christy, after like sitting on the stairs for like 6 billion hours,
yes,
she goes check on it, and suddenly she's dragged out by the ghost all the way down the stairs, through the kitchen
and basement.
Fucking hell. In the basement with you.
Yeah.
And at this point, there were sort of teasers before that Christy, like, lost her mind before, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
She's had a few, like, mental illness issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And now she's going to go full-on batshit insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically a 6.5 on the Exorcist scale.
Yeah. Yeah, and...
quite like this sequence.
I mean, yeah, we get the fast-forward gimmick again to show that she's been in the basement for, what was it, 3-4 hours?
Yeah,
something like that, yeah.
Just reappears casually, like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
Away she goes.
Yeah, and she sort of walks out in the same way as I walked after our big night out in Pop World with Big Rich a few weeks ago. I was much the same look was going on with me the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get a little sequence of the daughter coming back to the house, and this is probably my favourite little bit of the film.
Ooh.
I would say.
Yeah.
Where she's sort of, she's doing her like vlogging.
Yeah.
And she's like going towards the room where the mum is, and the mum's sat in, you can see the mum's legs sat in a chair.
Yeah.
And she sort of fucks about, and like the door blocks her for a second, and then she like moves the camera back around and the chair's empty.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. At which point stuff is really fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Would actually leave the house.
Yeah. It's only taken us an hour to get to this point.
Yeah.
But it's getting pretty spectacular at the minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's also, she checks the door into the basement and see there's now like scratch marks with like blood around it.
Yep.
Slightly shave there, but
yeah, yeah. Again, it shows nice and spooky.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah
thing.
You would shit yourself though, wouldn't you? And it does look like something's written
on
the door, but you can't really figure out what it is, which always annoys me.
Yeah, yeah. No need for that.
I think I made it out. I think it said DVR, but you know, just ignored again.
Yeah.
And is also Ali sees as a bite mark. Oh, no, this is when...
Oh, this is the bit I was on about.
This is the same bit you're on about. Mark, yeah, yeah, there's like a nice nom-nom-nom-nom-nom mark on her leg.
Which is a rehash from the first one, I think.
And yeah, I think
mark
so.
On the leg.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fine, because it's the same demon, same family, well, sisters, doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Makes
kind
sense.
Kind of, it ties in all right, I suppose. Yeah.
That's the tagline for a film, isn't it? Paranormal Activity 2, doing the same thing.
Doing the same thing.
It ties in all right, I suppose. So, yeah. What happens then, Willie?
Ali's left on her own because dickhead dad finally has to go to work for once.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. How fucking convenient. Yeah. And,
right, I've tied my shoes. It's only taken me 19 days.
Yeah.
Got them all tied. Bit hot today. Gonna rock the flip-flops, though.
Yeah. He's going to his job at the shoelace factory.
Yeah.
And...
Tester. Let's get a really fucking dumb dad.
Oh, I don't know. They thought it was a seizure. No. She's never had one before, ever. And she was making this noise.
Ellie?
Babe, I gotta call you back, okay?
I'm really sorry to do this to you. I'm not sleeping at that time. There's something wrong with Christy. Okay, I can't get her out of bed.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. These guys are from corporate. I've been putting them off for weeks. I can't blow them off.
Okay, please listen to me. Can I just take Hunter to bed?
Sweetie, no. I need you to stay here.
Okay? And I'll come home when you come home.
Wait, I know this sucks. I do. I know. Okay, I know you're freaked out, and I'm really sorry. I'll be there for like 2 hours, all right? And I have to pick up Abby, okay? Please. I'm sorry, okay? Call me. I'll be like 2 hours. If anything's wrong, just call me. I'll be right here, okay? I just cannot miss this today. Thank you. Okay? All right, don't worry. Lock the door behind me, okay?
Christy's basically, say half catatonic and half every time Ali tries to even approach her baby, she goes, well, a bit,
yeah.
My house!
Bill, 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 Bill,
Bill, Bill, Bill,
Bill, Bill,
Bill,
Bill,
Bill,
Mary Poppins, Bill,
Bill, Chim, Chiminy, Chim, Chiminy, Chim, Chim, Chiru.
And it's Due to this behaviour that Ali gets the dickhead dad back to the house, where he finally looks at the DVR and sees that the footage from the night before her being dragged along into a basement. And this
how
is...
fake shocked does he look?
Oh, fuck me.
Put your hand on your mouth, right? Open your eyes. Oh.
Joe, the fucking.
Spooky. Do you think he's in on it with the ghost? His reaction as well is to go, oh, Martina warned me about this. Best get her back. It's like, you've known what's been going on all along. So.
Yeah, you're a fucking douche.
Yeah.
It reminds me.
It's literally your family, mate. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. It reminds me so much. Have you both seen the film The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
No, go on then.
All right. It reminds me so much of Leonardo DiCaprio's dad's character in that film, where there's a scene basically where he's describing his dad who, like, flies off the handle at the slightest little thing, and then he, like, reverts to having a fake posh British accent whenever he's talking to one, and it cuts to him in his house, and he's sitting down, literally just sits down to watch a TV show, and the phone rings, and he goes, who the fuck is fucking ringing this house? Motherfuckers, I'm gonna fucking cut the fucking head off and shit down the neck, and he answers the phone and goes, hello? Just do this twat reminds me of.
So, Martina's back in the house with her incense sticks.
Yep.
Wafting it around.
Just wafting it around, muttering to herself.
Yep.
And Bad Dad's all on board at this point, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
So, what are you doing now? It's like, well, I'm trying to get the spirits. Like, oh, cool. Do you want a sandwich or anything? Yeah.
And then he has a chat over the sitch with the maid, and he decides that, being a massive cunt, he decides that the best way to handle this is not like an exorcism, like anyone else would have a bash at in a situation. Yeah. It would be much better and easier and probably cheaper and involve less shoe tying to just transfer it to a sister.
Yeah?
I mean, what a cunt.
Yeah.
What a fucking cunt.
Is that a conscious decision he makes? I can't remember.
Yeah, because that's the setup, isn't it? That's why they do.
Probably does. Yeah, he like goes to talk to her and try and do something without. Then it suddenly just goes a bit
schizo.
It goes a bit schizo. Everything goes dark, and then we're into the actual bit of a film where stuff is happening.
Yeah, he has the. I know it's found footage, guys, but he has the fucking world's worst shot fight with the fucking demon in the basement.
Yeah,
where I cannot tell a fucking single thing that happened.
And I thought he died in that sequence.
I did
as well.
Yeah. He goes down to the basement with that the shitty night vision. You know, it's basically imagine Blair Witch, like one of those fucking films about Zero Dark Thirty, you know, that whole sequence towards the end. Imagine the combination of the two, but like done for about £5. down into the basement, looks because to establish as well, the baby's gone missing. You know,
where's he gone?
And
where'd he go?
Where'd he go? It goes into the basement and comes across. Well, a manifestation of a demon, which is a creepy-looking thing with teeth, who basically attacks him right away, and, you know, it's a total squash match, you know.
It is a squash match,
It's down in 5 seconds.
Yes, mate. He is Demon and Nicholas in the basement. Just,
he is the Gilbert of this scenario, isn't he?
Yeah. He is the Brooklyn Brawler of Barry Horowitz.
You see something in the basement. I can't entirely figure out what it was.
Boxes.
Boxes, lots of boxes, lots of shit from his job, who knows what it is, shoelaces.
And he's just a little kid, like, mooching around in front of camera, just like, oh, yeah, this is all jolly. Fucking, the logic of this film, it's like the child cries at everything all the way through the film. Mm-hmm. And then when it's going mental in the basement, there's a demon there with teeth, it's just like, not crying today.
Well, here's a theory then, because the baby's already checked out the basement and such, has it been possessed?
What a baby.
Yeah, does that explain the ending spoiler with Katie?
But can two beings be possessed by the same demon at the same time?
Nope. I don't think it's been possessed. I think it's just every time it sees the demon, it just seems to chill out a bit.
Yeah.
Because there's that sequence earlier where they're trying to play with a baby with toys and shit, and it's just like, just kind of mugging out, looking around the room.
Yeah. So.
Plus its dad's getting killed.
Yeah. He's probably quite happy about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the world's shittest fight fucking ends, and like you guys, I thought he'd been tagged out here than that.
Yeah.
And it just cuts to the next morning, and he's sat there, not even particularly battered.
No.
Burn, finishing his transference of the demon to the sister by burning that picture.
Yeah. A bit of a prayer.
But he just seems so chilled out. Like, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's like... It's like he's the same kind of reflective as I am when I go out for two pints and end up having seven and getting a bit pickled. The next morning, I'm like, phew, it was a bit of a rough one, but, you know, it was my own fault.
We're eating now, aren't we? We're all right.
Exactly.
Amy, you got any pictures of your sister we can burn?
Yeah, just out of interest.
Yeah, and then 3 weeks later, more pools, more barbecues, more doggos.
Everyone's happy.
Katie's, you know, everything's back to normal, I guess.
Or is it?
Or is it? Because, you know, don't forget that Katie's boyfriend died 60 days after the Tarantino caption came up.
Oh, yeah. So, Mika, the walking camera.
Yep.
So essentially a first-person shooter character.
It's like that bit in Doom.
Yeah,
where there's fucking like weapons flying around everywhere.
Yes,
it's like
mate.
First person,
brilliant, but with half the character.
Yeah.
So we skip forward in time to the following October, like 40 days later,
Halloween.
And in comes Katie and tags out dickhead dad.
Yes,
nicely crazy mum.
Really nicely done the dad kill.
I was a big fan.
I like a silent but deadly kill.
Yeah, yeah. He's just sat there watching Togger, isn't he?
Yeah.
All sprawled out. He's manspreading on that sofa.
Yeah.
Just being as obnoxious as possible.
Yeah.
Having just passed a demon to someone. He's like, ooh, everything's all right now. Don't have to go back to work for another year. Also, oh!
Now, I'm not one for capital punishment, but he fucking deserved it.
He did deserve it just for being a mob.
Yeah. Yeah, and
beautiful. It's like,
yeah, he's
like a savage neck snap.
Yeah,
she just picks him up, done, donk.
See you later.
Back of the city, you go.
Coming.
Yeah,
and then upstairs she goes, where her mum is with under the baby, and it's a good old shove right in just below the camera.
Yes,
yeah, it's the power hand. She kills with the power hand.
It's a classic Steven Seagal finisher. That,
yeah.
The one-hand palm strike, like...
The 5-point heart punch from Kill Bill or whatever it is.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is pretty... It's a pretty fucking mint scene, to be honest.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Just absolutely annihilates her. Babby's fine now.
Yeah, and she walks away with the babby.
Yeah.
And according to our FBI/documentary/bullshit caption...
Yeah.
They haven't been seen since...
Yep.
And apparently Ali, who isn't seen for like the last 10 minutes of the film, 10, 15 minutes, she returned over the next day to see her parents were a little bit dead.
Weren't she on a fucking school trip or something like that?
Yeah.
Just unnecessary cliche detail as well.
Yeah.
Couldn't have just put daughter returned 2 days later to find the bodies. Had to be daughter returned from a school trip. Unnecessary.
Maybe she was staying with her boyfriend. That would have been more believable.
Yeah.
Because that's already been set up.
Well, there was a whole lot of... It wasn't a bit where she kept like staying at someone else's house as well.
She was trying to.
She was trying to. It didn't like keep getting the name wrong, and so I'm just trying to think that's a.
She was trying to stay at the boyfriend's house.
Yeah,
and like constantly ringing him, but he's a bit of a bell end.
But yeah, they went for school trip.
We went for school trip. Yeah.
Dull.
Yeah. Instead of like, yeah, she would turn like literally 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Where it was all still like, well, was like blood gushing everywhere, maybe.
Can I ask? Now we're at the concluding point here.
Yep.
I thought, like, as I said earlier, I thought that it was the third film that I'd seen
than
the first one, but it wasn't. It was the first two.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone seen the third one?
Yeah.
What does this arc continue with the baby in there?
No. No, I think it does.
I think there's one film where they try and season of a witch it a bit.
Number three is where they season the witch it, and it's a different family, different bloodline.
Right.
But it's two sisters. Oh, actually, no. It's the sisters when they're kids, I think.
I think the third one is a prequel, then I think the fourth
goes and shot on VHS, isn't it?
I saw a really fucking shit random one. I think it was called The Marked Ones, where it was completely different people,
and
there was a portal in a wall, and it was all very strange.
The third one, I think, takes it in a slightly new direction, and it's therefore slightly better.
Right.
There's a lovely bit on it, because they don't have CCTV back then. Yeah. So at one point, they gaffer tape a VHS camera to the top of a room fan that moves left to right, so it pans on a rhythm.
Nice.
Beautiful. And it's quite nice, because you've got right and left and stuff going on in different frames. It's really nice. Good. I do recommend you have a go on that one.
Yeah, I might give it a try.
The witchy stuff can just fuck off. The witches and the demons are just like...
Oh, dull.
Fucking it.
dull shite.
Yeah. But, yeah.
That was Paranormal Activity 2, then. A lot of stuff happened. I don't know how we managed to fit it all in just over an hour.
1 hour, 1 minute. That's with fluff at the start as well, which is going.
Yeah. Hopefully I've got about like 15 minutes of...
In and out, like the SAS.
Absolutely.
Like the Iranian embassy siege.
Yes. Ding, ding, done.
Yeah, just infinitely more dull.
As far as references go, that's pretty... not even niche, it's just random.
Thank you. It means a lot.
So, shall I start...
Well, how are we all feeling about it?
Let's...
Because we can pad this out a tiny little bit longer. The Blair Witch 2 review is 3 hours long, so...
Yeah. I feel... we did have an entire bottle of rum in the time that we're recording that. Anyhow, which we haven't this morning, because it's like 9 o'clock.
Wilson, it's your choice.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what you done did?
I thought... Well, I sort of like the final 20 minutes of it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's everything I remembered the first film being as well. Because bear in mind, I hadn't seen the second one until this one. I think
you liked the first film.
It was okay, but again, there was just so much filler.
Yeah,
and I mean, I wouldn't know how to do it, but they don't know how to transition from one scary scene to the next. There's all sorts of like little things in between that have absolutely no relevance, a bit dull, and it is just basically a ghost going ooh for it's it go ooh for now 15 minutes and bah for 15 minutes towards the end. It's I didn't outwardly hate it, but it was fine. Like Jeepers Creepers 3, it's just like I watched it,
it's just there in the air,
the thing that happened,
can't unwatch it. I'll move on with my life. How are you two feeling about it, Rob?
I think it was really, really fucking dull up until the last 25 minutes. I think it was unintentionally hilarious in parts. Like the pool cleaner gets me every time.
Yeah.
The bit where
Lobster Dad.
Yeah, Knobhead Dad. The bit where everything explodes in the kitchen out of nowhere gets me every time. The bit where whenever anything happens in this house, even if it's like a door slamming or a pan falling over, everyone's reactions are so over the top. Like it's like they've just been shot in the fucking leg, basically. It is like Wilson says it is what it is. It's literally copy and paste from the first film in a different house. You know, and that's quite lazy filmmaking.
It didn't do what Blair Witch 2 did, and just like
say what you will about Blair Witch 2, but it did something different.
It's not copy of pasta, is it?
No, and it was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? What do you think?
I think it's shit. Did enjoy it, though.
Did you enjoy it throughout, or did you enjoy it in certain parts?
When I watched the first one, I realised that this is something that only works in a cinema environment.
Yeah.
When you're in a dark room, the screen fills your vision and it's loud as shit.
Yeah.
It's like I was saying, it's like the Dracula experience.
Yeah.
Or like a haunted house or something like that. It's not particularly well crafted, well made, well acted, well anything.
It's lowest common denominator, isn't it?
It is, really. But on what it's actually trying to do, which I think is just this basic bitch stuff, or basic bastard stuff, sorry, is just make you jump.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily give me the dreads or the creeps. The first one gave me a little bit of the creeps because I thought that was better paced. But I had my sound cranked up real high. And obviously every time the demon... I don't know what you guys watched it on, but every time there's a demon thing going on, there's just kind of like this really sick rumble.
Yeah.
And like every time it came on, I've got coffee cups rattling across my desk and shit because it's that loud. And
I can go on. Sorry, mate. You carry on.
I was going to say, I can totally get on board with what this is trying to do.
It's trying to give me a jump scare and take my money.
Do you think it's one of those that works a lot better just in the cinema? Oh, well, unless you're set up like you are.
I think the rumbles,
and it's a lot more of a sound as well.
I think it works perfectly well in home cinema. And I didn't have the lights out, and it was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I think if you watch it by yourself, it's quite effective in that environment.
Yeah.
And I think if you watch it with people that are all on board, it works as well.
Yeah.
You just kind of need to take it as it is and not look too deeply into it. It was the same with the third one. It has its moments of just like really well done stuff within its own little formula and what it's made for itself, because it is essentially its own formula.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say this is just found footage. I think it's its own little thing, almost like a subgenre.
Yeah,
but I find them, if you can really focus on it, and you have to fucking focus.
Yeah.
As soon as you get distracted and look at your phone, you're just not interested.
No, you just go straight away.
You have to put the effort in. I think it can reward you, and it can give you some nice adrenaline rushes. I was on board most of the film.
Yeah.
Because I've just invested so much in it. You know, I had my teddy bear and my pillows and stuff. I was just like...
Yeah. I watched it on the Chris Wilson medium, which is, of course, Netflix.
Absolutely.
And it was HD, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but feeling... that the Paranormal Activity films and the films of their ilk would be best served on VHS.
Yeah, just to kind of like tap into the phenomenon of...
Yeah, and also just because...
That tape hiss, sort of.
Yeah. And also, like, it's all a bit too clinical in HD because it's supposed to be security cam footage and camcorder footage. I just think that natural grain of VHS would probably... Yeah. Work.
Have you ever seen something like Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters?
I've seen something called Ghost
for TV series.
Yeah. Both quite drastically different. Ghost Adventures is very much sort of, a lot of it is rigged.
Yeah.
For the spook factor. But that relies on its graininess, but it has post sound design and post effects put in.
Yeah.
And because it's so grainy and it's all handheld, it's again, if you focus on it, it's very immersive stuff. This is way too clean, and because of that, you're not entirely sure where you're supposed to sit in the spectrum.
Mm.
Like, is this big production, or is it just shitty CCTV cameras?
Yeah.
And because of that, you're kind of taken out of it. It's just a bit too sterile.
Yeah, and that really comes into play more in the sequels, like that Marked Ones film that I saw, where it's got like this fucking CGI portal going on and this, but it's still like found footage. And I'm like, fucking shit, I'll get off the pot, guys. Be one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, that's my take.
Yeah. Shall I start doing out the turds and popcorn, then?
Yep, get your shovel, Willie.
Dave. First, turds, popcorn?
Turds, I'm going to go with a solid 6, to be honest.
Quite turdy.
I think the bits that are good are a decent payoff. They reward quite nicely, to be honest. And I was quite satisfied by the end. It was all right. It's not good. popcorn, 8.
Whoa!
For me,
I had to
really work hard to invest myself in it, but the experience paid off. It's like the Blair Witch 2. It's not a good film, but like the experience I had around it was good fun. And I got an experience out of it, even if it is shit.
Rob, same thing, but probably a bit more disgust in your voice.
Yeah, similar. I think on the turds, I am going to go with Dave on 6.
Okay,
It is, you know, considerably turdy. I don't think we can get around that.
It's up to its waist in turds, just over. Benny Blunt height was 6.
Exactly. It's just because it's so on the nose with every single possession movie cliche imaginable.
Yep.
It's just a fucking... It's a dredgerous fucking experience to get through.
At 93 minutes, it's a fucking slog, isn't it?
Yeah. Popcorns. It is the very definition of average. And it has a really good last 25 minutes. And because of its painfully average nature, I'm going to go for a painfully middle-of-the-road 5.
Okay. Okay, that's not as bad as I thought.
It's... It was hovering around the 3.5 marker.
Yeah.
Up until the last 25 minutes, where I thought it at least gave you something. It gave bringing you some bang for your buck.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. How about you, Willie?
Well, Turds go for a 6 as well. 6, 6, 6.
Oh, fucking hell!
Yeah, it was what it was. I was bored for the most part. It's can't really say it's a well-made film or anything like
no,
that.
No, no.
But it was okay. And I'm giving Rob as well on the popcorn rating on a 5 because...
Mm-hmm.
It was what it yeah. was.
It was in every sense average.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It's
but you've not murdered it like I thought you were gonna do.
No, it was average activity too.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. I was ready to paranormal murder it until those final 25 minutes, and I think when they finally had a bit of connective tissue that could string the scenes together, it actually interested me, and it's a shame they have never really found a way to keep that interest up over like the course of a 90 minute film
Of
that sort of genre.
Shame.
Well, there we go then,
boys.
Is it reaching the point where I'm the only one that's picked his next film, or is everyone else?
No, I'm sorry mate, unfortunately. Sorted. For you guys,
I thought mine about 5 minutes ago. I can't remember what year the film was made or anything like that, but I'll give it a go.
Well, I'm going in huge.
Oh, here
are
we go.
Are we going divisive? Are we going good? Are we going terrible?
We're going divisive.
Ooh.
We're going top tier. And we are going for one of the films that inspired my idea for this podcast in the first place.
Oh,
because I wanted to engage with you in particular, Dave. Debate on this film.
Okay, it's probably not going to be what I think it is, but go on.
It's remake.
Yep.
Oh.
It's Zack Snyder's 2004 Dawn of the Dead, mate.
Yes, it is, mate.
I thought that would come up eventually.
Yeah, I was going to pick that at some point, but I was waiting for you.
Oh, mate, I'm so excited. Because it gets... I like it slightly more every time I watch it.
I know.
So we shall see what happens next.
Yeah.
A big, shiny remake.
Have you seen it yet, Willie?
Yes, I have, I watched it at Rob's house, like... I'm sure we were filming something back at uni.
It is the OK magazine of remakes.
Yes.
It's glossy and shiny.
Yes.
And it's in a special edition box.
Snyder's best film.
Ooh, spicy. I think you'll find that Owls of Gahol is...
Don't forget about the Owls. Yeah. The Owls of Gonads, was it?
So what are you going to hit us with, Dave? I'm a bit worried about this.
Sorry.
Get out of your system.
Get out of my system. Okay, right. So we're going to go... Well, it's an interesting one. It's a suggestion from Eleanor, because I've got some good ones banked, and after this I'm just going to like flush out all my good ones that I've had stocked up. Okay, so, the Amityville Horror remake, right, is not what we're going for.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's Amityville Horror 4, Secret of the Haunted Lamp that Kills People.
The Fork World, never seen it.
Yes, mate. I've never seen it, but she tells me that... Well, she tried to explain it to me in between just bouts of hysterics and hyperventilating. Like, it's about a lamp that fucking kills people. And then they buy the lamp and it kills the kids. So apparently it's an absolute banger. It's a rip-roaring time of just all sorts of brass and glass kicking ass.
Nice. And we'll have to dredge the very bowels of Amazon for that one, I fear.
Is it on Netflix?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't have thought so, Willie. You might have to buy it.
Oh, fuck's sake.
So which widely available on Netflix film have you picked next, Wilson?
I've literally thought of this about 4 or 5 minutes ago. And I think it's time we went a bit more classique. With
Maybe he's trying to guide the direction again.
This week we're modern. This week we're classic. This week it's a modern classic.
I am the navigator.
Well, I tried picking films for a view count, but then fucking Mummy Returns is our most popular episode, so I don't know.
Which I still cannot believe.
Just fucking sat there being sour. I'm sorry.
So I've got no idea what to think anymore. I don't know what my audience thinks. Fuck it. I think we're going to go with the Hammer Horror Dracula.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Yes.
1965?
No, it's 50s.
Is that one of Zelly's 50s?
I think it's 58. Frankenstein was the first one they did.
Yeah.
I think it's 58, dude.
Right.
And it's called the Blood of Dracula in other territories, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we watched that confusion. In film studies with Shelton.
Yeah,
Shelton.
I think we did some years ago.
Here's a tomb, colour blood!
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, that's quite exciting.
Yes. Yeah. Don't like that one, but
I was actually about to say it's about time I picked a good one, but
here comes Dave with his spicy take on the Hammer Horror Dracula.
Christopher Lee's alright, isn't he, to be fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never want to be typecast after Dracula.
No.
Saruman, Count Dooku.
Yeah.
Not at all. So that's a spicy selection there.
That is a spicy selection.
It's a nice mix. I think we've covered noughties, 80s and 50s.
Classics. Yeah.
It's a pretty good rangé.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's the oldest film we're doing so far, isn't it? We've gone that far back.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Well, I guess it's me to do the goodbyes. So thanks for tuning in. Do all that subscribe and bullshit. You know I'll do it. Give us 5 stars on iTunes.
We might have to talk them through it. I don't think they're going to have to
do it. I don't fucking...
Dave will explain it at the end in the bit we pipe in.
Yeah.
I don't know how to take pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do it anyway.
The same bit we've been using for like 20 episodes now.
I think it's fine. Works. Does the job.
I'll just make a different intro for every fucking episode, shall I?
Yeah, exactly. Don't do that, Dave. God damn it.
Yeah,
don't
you do get that. Your fucking keyboard out.
We don't even hardly use the Facebook page. It's fucking useless now since they've changed all the algorithms. Like, I'll put a turn on to boost this post. Oh, we got an extra view. Great. Yeah,
don't boost your post.
No.
Well, it started off as quite a punchy hour podcast. Now Wilson's into his diatribe about Facebook. We could be here the rest of the day.
Max Zuckerberg, kiss my cunt.
What the fuck? There's teddy bears in here, man.
Sorry, cuddly panda. Sorry, cuddly dragon.
Cuddly dragon.
Is that on your desk? Is that a teddy? It's actually a teddy bear.
That's a Mogwai. Yeah, that's my teddy bear. Mogwai. It was with me through Paranormal Activity.
That is adorable.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, it's goodbye to you, Dave.
Goodbye.
Goodbye to you, Rob.
See you later.
And from me, it's.
My groin. I need to tie my laces. Come on.
Sorry, dickhead Rob. You're gonna walk around forever with no shoes.
No,
just barefoot.
Bye.
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates at Cinemortuary on Twitter, / Cinemortuary on Facebook, and of course at Cinemortuary on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.